lost, no hope, no future. So I just sat the front and I lift my hand, I'm like, Lord, send me back to Cambodia. Mm-hmm. And that was 1986 at the time. So, and then until 1995, we met along the way, and then married 92, Cambodia. And when we announced to our family that we're going to go back to Cambodia, and friends and family said, but you just get out of the killing field. Why? Everybody want to get out of Cambodia. Why you want to go back? But for us, it's just like the burden, the passion, the compelling that God showed us, like Cambodia, you know, like it's this thing, like, you know, we tried to apply with the alliance, you know, like they said, first country, first choice, Cambodia. Second choice is Cambodia didn't work. Which one? Cambodia. And third choice, Cambodia. And when we announced to the family, and then family just said, like, but you just get out of the killing field. And we just told them, like, no, we're not going back to the killing field. We are going back to the living field. And God has used us for almost 27 years. Amazing journey.
I have the same journey. The war started when I was turning 10. And they eliminated a lot of people. After they killed massive people, they separate family members and to indoctrinate and to brainwash you. So I was sent to live in a concentration camp with hundreds of other kids for 3.5 years. Never seen my mom and my family at all. I learned to survive, but during that time, I had a sickness that almost died. I asked that God, that my mom would come to see me, and she was forbidden to come. So somehow I got better, but my body healed, but my heart was wounded. And I grew up in a Buddhist culture, and Buddhists promise you do good thing, good merit will come to you. So I challenged Buddha, where are you? All my life I watched my parents do good deeds, but he never turned his back on me. So I questioned, is there someone who make the trees and the birds and the fields? Who are you? Why you turn your back on me? So by the grace of God, that war ended, and I was miraculously reunited with my family in late 79, and to discover that 63 members of my family were killed during that war, and we lost hope. Our land was confiscated, and things of my mom was said, we're gonna starvation is severe, no government can help. There's a way out to the refugee camp across the jungle, but there's a lot of risk, a lot of landmines, a lot of bandits and soldiers, and if they see you, won't stop. But mom, with a family of seven, and my sister was pregnant at that time, determined if we're gonna live in Cambodia, we'll die of starvation, or somebody will rob us for food and kill us. And we go to the four refugee camps, we'll risk on step on landmines or being seen by bandits and being killed. But whatever it is, mom was determined to take us to the refugee camps. After weeks of crossing the border, we arrived and we were taken by, there was a lot of missionaries and workers who pull out to help refugees. So we were taken for different departments for help, for treatment, for scabies and wounds and all kind. One by one, we got better. But my older sister, who was pregnant, even though she delivered a healthy baby girl, her mind when not normal, she had to stay in the hospital. So I was assigned to visit my sister, to bring clothes, to feed her and bathe her. And it was, there's so many staff, but I pay attention to one particular nurse who, to me, she demonstrated the hand and feet of Jesus and the love. She, to me, she looked like an angel, beautiful, and but that hospital bed made of bamboos and huts and dirt floor, yet she was gentle and caring and loving, and I watched her from a distance. And where I came from, if you're rich and beautiful, you don't do that kind of dirty work. That's a work of servants. But this lady, something about her, And so I watched her from a distance. We couldn't communicate, language barrier, cultural barrier, and I was just a refugee girl watching from a distance. Later on, my sister came home whole with a baby in her arms. She said, while I was a patient in the hospital, I met a new God. His name is Jesus. We even followed Buddha all our life, and he failed us. I don't know about the new God, but he promised good. Let him give him a try. And we did. And I was introduced to the Christian children group. And the children at that time were reciting scriptures for pride, for candy, for balloons, or anything. But I was like a sponge when the words came out from the mouth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and for God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son. So that was when the teacher dismissed the class, leading question. And I said, teacher, is that true? There's a God who made the heavens and the earth. I said, yeah. And she continued packing again. She was busy. And does this God really loves me? That what you said, that he loves me too? And and then, can I be part of his family? And she led me to Jesus at that time. We continued to live in refugee camp for the next couple years, but this is my prayer that God, I'm only a refugee girl. I don't know what my future will be like, but if you are willing, please make me like that nurse. So 2.5 years later, my family was sponsored to New York. Also, at age 16, learning years of no school, the struggles of teenagers, but always have that mindset in mind. After high school, by the grace of God, I went to nursing school and pursued with that dream. And I was the first with a college degree in my family. Good job, worked in New York City, but my heart was not content with all that. I said, what is it, God? I'm not in danger anymore, but something tugged in my heart. So when I go through scriptures to confirm what it, and Romans 10 chime out, for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on the one whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear nobody tell them? And how can they tell when nobody sent them? So I felt convicted by that. Perhaps that nurse heard the same call, and because she answered the call, I'm here today because of her. But my family said, you work so hard for your nursing, you're gonna give up for that, all that, and go back to the killing field. Again, it was a wrestle, and God said, I know the plan I have for you. Plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to bring you hope and a future. And with that, as it said, we told our family, we're not going back to the killing field. We're going back to the living field. And spent 27 years almost, and it's been a journey of beautiful, blessed.
So this is our family. Please, what next picture? And Justin, when he went to Crown College in Minnesota, second year, and 2017, we are about to wrap up and ready to go back and decide to get married. And so we married them. And when we came back 2021, he gave us two grandchildren. And both Justin and Katie, they are nurses, and right now they're serving in and the Middle East. Please pray for them. Right now they've just been there for, I think, 5 months now, study language.
Very hard language.
And Jonathan graduated from boarding school last year. He's with us now. Yeah. Thank you.
And he's going to be living in South Glens Falls when we're in Cambodia in July. Cambodian, very hospitable, very generous, and very, behind those years of decades, you know, you go to Cambodia, not a home without somebody died of the war. So it's been through difficulty, but you would not notice because they're always smiling and cheerful, and when they greet one another, they say, Chumriep Sua. So when so much so that when tourists go to Cambodia, said, wow, these people are so friendly. So we are known as the people from the land of smiling. So when we first arrived in Cambodia, we know the location. But so we, because of our safety reason, we based in the capital city. But 3 days a week, we pack up early in the morning, travel 2-3 hours on bumpy roads to remote villages and minister to people, teaching discipleship and public health, whatever we do. And so we make sure to come back home to the capital before curfew time. And so the road to and from is very back-breaking, but upon arrival in each village, we were most anticipated because people would come and greet us and rush and come with give us hugs and jumuriyo suwa. But they don't come bare empty hands. They always bring gifts. That gift may not be much, maybe a bag of vegetation they got from their field, a bag or a bunch of coconuts or mangoes and all always produce. And sometimes they would harvest the night before. They hunt the harvest. We will bag also have bags of proteins, edible proteins. You name it, crickets, frogs, crabs. So that was their best gift to us. And so at mealtime, they make sure they have a feast prepared for us. They will go near. If they don't have it, sometimes they grab a big fat chicken and butcher it and prepare a three-course meal for us. You know, they're so poor. They don't eat meat every day. They eat salt, small fishes and rice. So when the poor give their all to us, we feel guilty of accepting their gift. But we know that this is their way of showing love. And if we refuse their gift, we insult their hospitality. So we learn to graciously receive and exchange gift at the same time.
Next picture, please. 2016, we were wrapped up in the Northwest, and Beth and Brad, our teammate, work in Poi Beth, and we worked there for almost 13 years and wrap up, and then we about to go to looking for a new location on the northern part, a new location. And we then 2017 we got a phone call from our field director and said that Sid and Sina, would you consider to go to this new location? And we thought, where? And he mentioned that the name is On Long Way. On Long Way is on the northern part, on top, on the top. The next picture. And when we were in Poi Pat was the last stronghold of the communist give up of the regime. But On Long Way was the last stronghold of the top give up too. And when we heard this name, it just like flashback on us, like, what if they're gonna kidnap us? What if we're gonna get killed? And it's just like the flashback from the old memories. And we pray, and we pray, and ask God to intervene for show us that we're going to have peace. And we pray, and then we reflect back. God saved us during the killing field. We will survive. We will survive when we live in the Bronx, New York.
4 years in the Bronx.
Sorry, for those living in the Bronx, nothing bad about the Bronx, okay? But it's just for me, I'm surviving there, you know? And also, we were surviving Poi Pat because a lot of snake, you see, I can share you the snake and landmines and everything. And then we just say yes. And when we say yes, this is what ha- happening.
Not yet. So we were still in Nyack, New York at that time. The week we say yes to new place on the need of An Long Way, we experience personal or spiritual attack in a personal way. Our son that week, he announced that he want to get married. But our ticket to Cambodia is already purchased. We were to depart on July 3rd. And Jonathan was in school in Nyack, and school ended end of June. The only weekend we had open was June 24th or July 1 for the wedding. And they chose July 1, and the wedding was in Minnesota, and we were in New York. So the stress of planning a wedding from a distance, and that was done okay. That same week, we got my brother, who was 47 years old, 6 foot one, basketball player, strong, athletic, father of five, healthy, yet he had a cold. And it seemed to linger on, and the doctor keep guessing asthma, maybe pneumonia, maybe allergy or bronchitis, stage four liver cancer. So in May, they moved him to hospice care because he was inoperable. April, a phone call from Cambodia. Sue's younger brother, same age, had some health issues, but not severe. So the family took him to Bangkok, Thailand for treatment, but he ended up dying in Bangkok. So the family had to make expensive arrangement, a funeral plan, bring the body back to Phoi Phat. And so we said, wow, what is this place that the enemy does not want us to go? And at that time also, we had, we still have two elderly mothers, and we are next in line to care for our moms, so who gonna be? And so we have good reason if we would present it to our leaders that we cannot go, we need all these personal issues, they would understand. But after we pray for about it, and God given an overwhelming peace, and we say yes anyway. So on July 3rd, we packed up, we left. After the wedding, we went, and trouble followed us, We arrived into no new location, no teammates, never been there before, don't know the town. We had one day to look for a house, and we knock on door. We ask, look, we need a place to rent. And after we look at 13 houses, we signed contract to one house, and we left town, and we went to the border to join our other field team for field forum in Thailand. And when we come back, we move our stuff from Phoi Phat to An Lung Wing. The normal drive is 3 hour drive from Phoi Phat to An Lung Wing. So we planned 5 hours because we have stuff and carry travel three truck. But it took us 11 hours because the car keep breaking down, and we arrived at 2 a.m. pitch dark, pouring rain, no food, everything closed, and all alone. All our sleeping bag was in the barrels, and we need, and rainy season, mosquitoes, dengue, fever, all that. I was so overwhelming that night. It was our lowest point. We said, God, this place is so evil. What is this? If we didn't have one-way ticket, we would pack up the next day and come back to America. But we bite our tongue and we stay put, and the rain keep pouring, and we next day we spend the next 3 days cleaning the house and just do the way we can. By day five, we like, I'm tired of cleaning. Let's explore town. As we open the gate to go to see visit the town, because of the constant rain, it was flood everywhere. Some part was chest deep, flood. And wow, and this is strange. An Lung Wing located on the the foot of the mountain range. They never had flood before until that day. And when we look, and as we wade through the flood, all those houses water. Our house was on dry ground. God prepared that house for us. So after we pack up, clean up, so I took Jonathan to boarding school in Malaysia, and afterward we began to ask the local people, hey, did you know any Jesus people around here? The Christian are known as the Jesus people. So they point us to here and there. So we ask local church leader, can you introduce us to potential church people, family in the area? And they introduced us to Pastor D and Mr. Kong.
So when we met Pastor D and Mr. Kong, and then we told them, like, we're going to be here and work with you for 4 years. And they look at us, and they were like, crying and tearing. And then the pastor said that, you know what, pastor, you have no idea. We were on our knee and pray for 2 years and ask God, God, send somebody to teach us God's word. And we told them, like, now God sent us to you. But you know what? Before we decide, we make decision to come here, we're supposed to go to another location. But your prayer must be stronger than us. That's why God sent us to you. And please watch this video and what God had been doing stir up in the northern part in Cambodia.
Caved in on me and my little boy. I heard my wife cry out, Jesus, help my husband. I felt two hands grip my shoulders, and I realized I was already outside the cave. I choked and coughed out blood. Then my right eye popped out of its socket. Immediately, my wife and a neighbor took me to the nearest hospital. Every doctor in every clinic said that they could not treat this kind of injury. I told my wife, must take me to your church. I have no other hope. When we arrived, I asked the pastor to pray for me. As he prayed, I felt something from inside was pulling my eyeball to its place. And when everyone opened their eyes to look at me, I shouted, "I am healed." I was overwhelmed with joy and in awe that God had healed me. After I got out of the hospital, my heart was restless. I could not stay still. I just wanted to go and tell everyone about Jesus. I often walked to distant places. I kept praying to God for clear direction. "God, you have done so much in my life. From now on, whether I live or die, I am devoted to you. Where you send me, I will go." First, I shared in my own village. The people all knew what kind of character I was. After I came back, everyone was amazed by my healing, and they said that I was a different man. Some who saw the changes in me, the workload was overwhelming to me. I cried out to God, "I can't do this alone. Please send someone to help."
When we came, it's just like so desperate need. We have not heard any church existing here. It's just like spiritual hunger.
We met Kang on a boat ride. He's a natural networking person. Wherever his relatives live, does the church exist?
All he knew that go and share the gospel. Sometimes he called us like, "I'm here, I'm there, away from home. Talk to this person, that person." They received the Lord already. It's amazing. We told him that there's so many that we cannot catch up with him.
God answered my prayer and sent you. I was so happy. My faith began to grow deeper. You are helping us understand God's ways.
We cover 3 villages a week and do all-day discipleship classes in that each village, including 2 floating villages. In the last 2 years, we've seen God's planted 12 Alliance church group and about 130 people came to Christ. This is our goal to see by year 2021 that in every village, every tribe, every tongue in Cambodia, they have a church, a place of worship for the people group.
We plant churches because Jesus told us to go and make disciples. But in Jesus' heart, he cared for the lost soul. And that's why we're here, follow him.
I am grateful to God for saving me, and I have committed my whole being to serving him for the rest of my life. Nothing makes me happier than to see lost people find their way back into God's kingdom.
Our God is a real God, not just a storyteller.
Just once upon a time story.
Yeah, once upon a time story. This is real, this is true, that he's worked in the life of his people.
And he still does miracles every day. So after we met Mr. Kang and Pastor D, we thought we went to Lung Wei to start from scratch. Having met them on the spot, we inherit 5 villages who was only 4-month-old Christians. But they scattered 1.5 hours this way and 3 hours that way. So the next 2 years, we follow the Christians and we invest heavily on discipleship training and leadership training. That's when the number grew and grew. And then this story took place in November 2016, just months before we arrived. And the eyeball popped out. It's true. It happened. I'm a nurse. So when they tell a story like that, I don't believe it. But there was 19 people who saw, will lay hand, pray for him. And he said, "We were there." And after Kang got healed, prayed for, he went back. He stopped by 4 clinics. And one by one, they all like, no, we cannot touch that kind, go to the hospital. And so when he saw that his life was in danger, he surrendered his life to his wife's God. He was not a believer yet. And he went there. And so when they prayed for, and after he got healed, he went back to the clinics. One by one, they said, "Are you the guy with the eyeball popped out?" what happened? Who healed you? What you go to? And they said, I go to Dr. Jesus. And just word spread the fame of Jesus that, wow, who is this God that he even answered their people's prayer, and word spread. And so people have flocked into want to know about Jesus. And Mr. Kang is a simple man. He had no education. Before he met Jesus, he had two wives. He beat them up so bad that they ran away from him. The northern part know him. And so he had no fear of man. And so when he tracked his wife down, they were hiding in Lung Wing, and he told them, renounce, who is this God that you're following? Come back to our ancestors, God. And he started to kill them. And one by one, the family said, no, you can kill us, but we're not giving up Jesus for you. And that's when the accident happened. He was, wow, who is this Jesus? And so when he shared the testimony about those who seen the accident, it happened around 10 o'clock in the morning. So a lot of villagers come and saw the whole thing. And so he went back to the village after being healed and thought, wow, what, how you healed? What happened? And he testified that the power, healing power of Jesus. And those who seen the accident was amazed and came to the Lord. Many people who never seen, did not see, but they knew the character of him, and they saw the change in him. Before, he was a vicious persecutor. After meeting Jesus, he became an evangelist. And he cried, he pleaded with people, Jesus is for real, come to him. And he will beg for them. And so he had 9 adult siblings, and he would spend with his family and reason with them. That's when we inherit all those believers. God's hand just upon him, and people could not help but stop and listen. And he said, and he led people to the Lord. Sometime he would drive on a flat tire. I have a flat tire, and he stopped and repair the motorbike. And after he said, oh, thank you, Jesus, bringing you to the light, shop together. And said, who's Jesus? You don't know Jesus? Let me tell you about it. And it's just like that, by the time the flat tire fixed, he led 6 people to the Lord already. And sometime he met a complete stranger on the road. And friend, you look sad and down. Are you okay? And he would tell Kang what his need. And he said, well, man prayed to receive Jesus. That man went home. His wife took notice. You're different. You left home a few days ago grumpy and grouchy. But you're different. What happened? And the child said, Dad, you're different. And he said, yeah, I met this guy named Kang. He told me about this new God. I prayed to receive him as well. Really, you changed. You have Kong's phone number? And they will call, are you Kong? Do you talk to my husband about your God named Jesus? He says, yeah. Can you tell me more about him? And with that, he led more people to the Lord. But as more people come to Christ, this upset the doctors and healers. So they're looking for a way to persecute them. But so we help our people not to retaliate, but pray for them. Sometimes when they come to worship God, their food got stolen, their chicken got snatched, and everything is repaired. But the more they come to Christ, to us, the numbers not impress us. When they come to Christ, we said, you can come to Jesus. Because of poverty, people come to Jesus with different reasons, for food, for medical. But when they come to Jesus for real, we tell them, lead us to Jesus. Then we explain the salvation plan to them. After they say yes to all that, we ask them one more question. Are you willing to cut off the spirit string? And they pause. Because of help for healers and for a pride, the witch doctor give them special string they wear around their bodies all their lives. This string promised protection and prosperity. So when they say yes to Jesus, that word is not enough. We ask them, are you willing to cut off the string? If they say yes, we told them the consequence right away. A young wife, if your husband finds out that your string being cut off, you might be beaten or divorced. Is it okay by you? Teenager, if your parents find out that your string being cut off, it costs them money. But your string can cut off, you might be disowned and cast out. People in general, if your community know that you join the Jesus people and your string cut off, they might outcast you and excommunicate you. Is it okay by you? when they say yes to all that, we told them, show your string. And with their permission, we cut off the string in front of the people, and we pray for them, and we burn the string as a testimony. They no longer believe to their old way. Now they come to our child and daughter of Jesus. And with that, that's after they say yes to Jesus and cut off the string, that's when we start and we count the number of true believers. And for us, when we go to the village, we don't just bring the Bible, we bring a pair of scissors with us too. And so as more people come to the Lord, and I've been a believer for 41 years, I never seen so many miracles. The first miracle I saw was in refugee camp, but the last 4 years had been page by page from the book of Acts. People don't have anything to mean, they go to Jesus and he answered, and healing took place, and more people come to the Lord. So on May 28th last year was a very hard time for us. COVID, you're all affected. One son got stuck in Malaysia, could not come back home. Graduate, we could not go celebrate him. One son in America said yes to Jesus, so we're being commissioned to pray for. We want to be there so much, but we couldn't be there. We got stuck in Cambodia. And so we had a good cry. Then we said, let's go visit our friend in one village. And we went, we told them that we're going to come to America for 1 year. And they said, you just led us to the Lord, and now you're abandoning us? Who's going to take care of us? Who's going to teach us? And we told them, don't worry, these leaders are going to take care of you, and you just stay strong with God. And one man said, before you go, can you tell the same story of Jesus to my parents who live in another village? And we went. When we arrived, about 60 people were waiting for us, the whole, including a village leader. And we shared the same gospel, the same person, and afterward, 30 people say yes to Jesus and cut off their string. And we said, we're going to name this church. Let's name it Corona Church. So Corona Church was born on May 28th last year. Looking back to the January 2017, when we have all those family difficulties, when we were questioning about our calling to go to a new location, had we followed our feelings, we would miss out big time. We thought we went to a new way to start from scratch, but Jesus already went ahead of us through the work of miracles, through Mr. Kung's and Pastor D's. When we arrived, the footprints of Jesus was everywhere through the work of miracles. We simply follow the Jesus people to every village. On June 21, 2021, when we about to leave, we count the number of church planted during 4 years' time, 21 house churches were spread, and it's still going strong to this day.
When we say yes, we don't know what's gonna happen, but all we know, just say yes, and God, he do the rest. And we ask you to pray for mission, continue to support mission that Pastor just shared with you, and pray for young people. Maybe they want to go for mission, or maybe want to go, and you have a lot of mission to support. But if you can, please, we invite you to come to Cambodia.
Come.
And we appreciate, and please pray that God continue to work, and especially for these 21 house churches to be strong for the Lord. And also the video that you just saw, Mr. Kong, a month ago, he went to be with the Lord. And he have a tragic accident. And we just pray that when we go back, that God going to raise 100 of Mr. Kong. And to card, if you're interested, and we have our blog or email. And please pray. And when we go to Cambodia, we have to drive from the airport to the place we are going to be, 9-hour drive. And also, we have to look for a house.
Again.
And please pray. If you're interested, talk to Pastor, and interested to go to Cambodia someday. We're going to be there for 4 years. Thank you so much for having us.